I don't know how you all feel, but I love the week between Christmas Day and New Year's Day, these first 8 days of the 12 days of Christmas. Doesn't it just feel a little more relaxed, a little slower? Even though I was working, the office was very calm and peaceful. I went home and enjoyed the dog and the kids, not in that order. It was just really nice. And so as we are in the new year and in Christmas, I wanted us to sort of just consider those things today. As we mentioned, we've been considering the names of Christ, Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and today, Light of the World. And the light of the world rises upon us every single day, right? In the form of sunshine. Not that God is the sun. And so we are looking at the way that God fulfilled that wonderful prophecy in Isaiah 60, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And it's a new year. Ah, but 2016 is not going to go down as one of the best years in the world, is it? Some of us have been weary. How many stories have you read in the newspaper or heard on the radio or on television about how terrible 2016 was? It seems to be sort of the narrative that's around us. Well, many of you might feel weary after this year. Some of you know that it was a great personal year for us this year in the Drake family. We got to go on sabbatical. You sent us on sabbatical. It was about 5 days before I left in May. I was at a silent retreat with some sisters, and the verse that we were contemplating was, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." And then the host of this silent retreat took us into her dining room, and her table was full of photographs, and she said, "The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. Choose the photo that kind of calls out to you for this year as you go into this summer." And this is the photo that I got. Isn't that neat? We were about to go to Kenya and France and look at that world. There they are on that map. And I thought, thank you, Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Oh, but right away I thought, I'm tired. This image does not reflect to me how I feel right now. And the phrases that came to me was, tired old world, full of war. Tired old church. Are we ever going to get our act together? Tired old Brandy. Am I ever going to get my act together? And almost as soon as I thought those words, I heard something from Revelation in my heart. Behold, I make all things new. Tired old us, but God's not tired. God's not tired. And so this morning, we're going to explore how God is not tired, how God is the light of the world that rises like the sun every morning, new every morning, not tired, not bored. And this morning, we're going to be jumping around in Scripture. It will be on the screen, but if you want to open your Bibles, you're welcome to. We will be in Isaiah, Zechariah, Luke, and John this morning. Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. In this passage, who is the light of the world? God. God is the light of the world. But look at the next verse. Nations will come to your light. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on your hip. And then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin nor destruction within you, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Wow. So who is the light of the world in those verses? There seems to be something about us here. We get to be the light of the world. We can be the light of the world. not because of our own light that we produce, but because of the light that shines on us. So God is the light of the world, and we can be the light of the world. The main point seems to be that we get to shine God's light. Verse 19. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. The sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. And then all your people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. Did you hear that? We are the work of God's hands for the display of God's splendor. Arise and shine, tired old ones. Shine in the light that God has given you. This imagery is so strongly evokes the sun for me. So I want to skip ahead to the last book of the Old Testament, the final chapter of the last book of the Old Testament. It's Malachi, a promise of the light to come. This is Malachi chapter 4. But for you who revere my name, the sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And this next sentence, and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Who thinks to put such joy in Scripture? The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays, and you will go out and frolic. Amazing. These ancient words, they still evoke joy and hope for a tired old world. So, God is the light of the world. We can be the light of the world. And this is because Jesus is the Son of Righteousness, prophesied in Malachi, the light of the world. And we pick up this theme of light again in the Advent story in Luke. You may recall that Zechariah was an elderly priest who was sent into the Holy of Holies, and he and his wife were barren, and it was a great grief for them. And he saw the angel of the Lord who told him he would have a child, and he didn't believe it. And that child turned out to be John the Baptist, but because he didn't believe it, he was mute for the whole duration of his wife Elizabeth's pregnancy. The first words that he said when he got his voice back after his son John the Baptist was born are recorded in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read a part of that. He said, "And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare a way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine upon those living in darkness and put in the shadow of death to guide our feet into a path of peace." And there are countless references in Scripture, in these ancient words, as God is the light of the world, Christ is the light of the world, us as light of the world. I want to make a last stop this morning in the Gospel of John. Three places. John 1:5. Most of you know this one. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And in John 3, which our John referred to today, just after 3:16 and 17 comes 3:19. Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead." Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead because their deeds were evil. And finally, in John 8, at the Feast of Tabernacles, this feast was where the people of Israel celebrated God leading them through the wilderness with a pillar of smoke by day and a pillar of fire by night. And Jesus is saying to them, "I am that pillar. I am your guide through the wilderness," when he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and will have the light of life." So, God and Jesus, the light of the world, like the rising sun, the sun of righteousness. And even though the word sun is not used in Isaiah 60, the image of the sun is invoked. Arise, shine, your light has come. The sun of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a path of peace. So, what does the sun do? Tim Keller reflects on this, and he notes three very big roles for the sun. Sun is a source of life. Sun is a source of truth. And then he says the sun is a source of beauty and joy. Just going to look at all three of those a little bit. Sun is the source of life. What would happen if we didn't have the sun? Well, besides that we'd have to buy a lot of lights and coats, the crops would not produce. There would be no food, no warmth. Our food sources would disappear and we would not survive it. The sun is the source of life. And Scripture tells us that God is our source of life. In Him we live and move and have our being. The sun is a source of life. Sun is a source of truth. All right, I don't like this one so much. Have you ever gotten up before the sun rose and it was kind of dark but you didn't want to turn the light on and you put on the wrong socks that day? And you got to work and even though you were wearing black pants, you realized, oh, my socks are blue. I hope nobody notices. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting older and I much prefer my face in the mirror of the darker room than a lighter room. I can deny a lot more if I'm not looking so closely with a bright light. The light tells us the truth, right? If you turn on a light in a roach or mouse infested room, what happens? Ugh, they scurry, right? And they climb right under the bed or the counter or wherever it is that they can hide in the darkness. The light shows us what's there. If we don't have light, we're prone to bump into things. And I love the idea that the sun is a source of light, but you can't look right at the light, right? It helps you to see things. It's the light of the world that helps us to see things. Not that we're always looking directly at it. So the source of life, the source of truth, and the source of beauty and joy. Did you know that people who live on the extreme north or extreme south latitudes are more prone to depression in the winter? Have you all seen those lights that are special lights that in our room we have it connected to an alarm clock so that when we have to get up in the dark, the light comes on and it reflects, it's actually mimicking the sun. We need it. If your child is having a nightmare in the middle of the night, what do? Turn the light on, right? No more monsters. They're not under your bed. Look, let's shine a light there. And this week, I noticed in a new way what many of these passages that we just read and looked at together have in common. They seem to have whimsy in them. You will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. We are being associated with well-fed calves, and it's our job to frolic. What God asks us to frolic? And in Isaiah, and then you will look and be radiant, and your heart will swell with joy. Do you think God ever loses his joy, his beauty? Sort of makes my heart happy to think about it. Tired old Brandy, never tired old God. God does not get weary. God does not get bored. God does not grow old. God does not lose interest in us. God is the source of beauty and joy. We read it in Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Well, the Drakes have lived in Darien for 7 years, and we successfully avoided getting a dog until this year. But we got one. This is Jumbo. We've had him since September. He's about 8 months old, and I marvel every morning that dog frolics when he sees us. every morning his tail wags and his little body moves and he barks and he yips and he's so happy. He never gets tired of being happy to see us. He's like a small child with a ball. We throw it to him and he brings it back as if to say, again, 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 and we throw it again and he comes back. Again, 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 and we throw it again and he comes back. Again, again, again. Again, just like a small child. I was reminded of this mystery of the again, again, that small children and dogs have when I was listening to a sermon by John Ortberg. He quoted Catholic theologian G.K. Chesterton, who might be the most whimsical theologian out there. I highly recommend him. And I want us to look at this together. It's kind of long. Let's read it together, not out loud. Because children have abounding vitality, because they are in spirit fierce and free, children are in spirit fierce and free. Therefore, they want things repeated and unchanged. They always say, do it again. And the grown-up person does it again until he is nearly dead. For grown-up people are not strong enough to exult in monotony. Next slide. But perhaps God is strong enough to exult in monotony. It is possible that God says every morning, do it again, to the sun. And every evening, do it again, to the moon. It may not be automatic necessity that makes all daisies alike. It may be that God makes every daisy separately, but has never got tired of making them. It may be that he has the eternal appetite of infancy. Next. For we have sinned and grown old, and our Father is younger than we. If you take nothing else this week, take that. In spirit, let us be fierce and free. Every morning, what if we woke up every morning and we said to God, do it again? What if we looked at that sun and thought of the sun of righteousness that's supposed to be reflected in us and said, do it again? I think the Christmas model for the do it again attitude, the fierce and free attitude, we find it in Mary in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. It's a familiar verse. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. That ponder and treasuring. I think the question for us is, who are we looking to for our source? Where is our attention? Mary's attention was on the work of God. She was steeped in scripture. She was able to ponder what God was up to. Her attention was there. Her attention was not on, oh my gosh, I'm way too young for this. I can't believe this is happening. What will my parents think? What will the villagers in Bethlehem think? I hope we don't have to go back to Nazareth soon. Right? No, she treasured what God was doing and pondered them in her heart. For us to treasure scripture, to treasure that the sun comes up every day, to treasure that our children are saying again, again, again. Where we are treasuring, where our attention is what we're going to look like. And so we rise and we shine because our light has come. And our challenge is to allow the sun of righteousness, light of the world, to be our source of life and truth and joy, and to keep us from sinning and growing old. No more tired old world, no more tired old church, no more tired old you, because God makes all things new, and our job is to look up. Arise and shine, because our light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us, just like the sun, new every morning. May God have mercy on us as we trust that he doesn't get bored with having mercy on us. Let's pray. Lord, show us how to ponder you. Show us how to reflect the light of your great love and life and joy. Show us how to say every morning to you, again, again, again. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.